All right. Let's turn, please, to Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. Thinking about the new year. How many of you, honestly now, haven't been to the eye doctor and probably should go? It's probably time for a checkup. I got my hand up. Some of you do. Okay. All right. Well, this morning we're going to try to look into the Word of God and see if spiritually we've got 2020. I need glasses or I can't see 2020. But we're going to look in the Word of God and see if we can get our vision focused like we need. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer? Yes, sir. Okay, Genesis 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw the light that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were what? The first day." That's what got my attention about this. I know this is not the first day of 2020, but it's the first Sunday of 2020, and I'd like us to think about that. So these numbers, the numbers of this year, remind me of perfect vision, 2020. I wondered how they got that eye chart, you know, that you always have to read at the eye doctor. And so I was reading about that. It's called the Snellen eye chart. That's S-N-E-L-L-E-N. Snellen. S-N-E-L-L-E-N. It's called the Snellen eye chart because it was developed in the 1860s by a Dutch eye doctor named Herman Snellen. And it's designed to be placed 20 feet away from you. And if your eyesight is what the average good eyesight should be, you should be able to read the fourth line from the bottom clearly at 20 feet. The big E on the top of the chart, that is, if you cannot read that, then your sight is not 20/200. So a person with good eyes should be able to read that large E out at 200 feet clearly, still be able to see it. So if you're not able to read that, you're considered to be legally blind. And in fact, if you can't read 20/40, they won't let you drive. If your eyes can't be corrected to 20/40, they won't let you drive. But so quite a difference, isn't it, in what people see clearly. I take off my glasses. I don't know. I suppose I could see that large E, I guess. I don't know. Never tried that. But how much more important it is to have good spiritual sight. In the same way, you know, how many in here do not need any glasses, contacts, or LASIK surgery? Okay, some of you. Praise the Lord. You have a great blessing. Do you realize that? There's very few people today, really, in this world that don't need eye correction of some sort. But when it comes to spiritually, we continually need, we need the Word of God to see clearly. And we need Him to do some spiritual LASIKs on us, don't we? That we can see in life the right way. So how much more important it is to have good spiritual vision. Notice with me, hold your place here if you would, but in Hebrews 9, 27. Hebrews 9, 27. For those people who cannot focus out there like they should and see clearly what's ahead, that's dangerous to drive if you can't focus out there and see clearly. But it's so much more dangerous to go through life if we are not able to focus on what's coming. Because Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men," what? "Once to die, but after this," what? "The judgment." There's a lot of people in this world that cannot see that fact clearly. They're not seeing that after we die, there's a judgment coming unless our sins have been forgiven. And so they're just kind of blundering along in life thinking that everything's okay or that they're going to make a deal with God. And they're not expecting. A lot of people in this world didn't expect the United States to respond how they did this week and take out that Iranian general. It shocked a lot of people. They didn't see that coming. Neither did the general. That same general had threatened President Trump, saying, "We're near. And even when you don't know we're there, we're nearer than you think." And evidently he didn't take that to heart himself, because that's what happened. He was in the sights, and he perished. The fact is none of us know how long we have, do we? Last Sunday this time, there was a deacon and a security man in a church in Texas that didn't know they were going to die in that service. They did not know that. No one else in the church knew that either. But they did. They did die. So we need to be focused. Let's look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25 and verse 4. Psalm 25 and verse 4. The Bible says what? "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." So verse 4, "Show me thy ways, O Lord." That should be our prayer this week, or this year. Lord, show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. You know, there's some people when they go to work try to avoid the boss at all costs. Because if the boss comes around, they're afraid the boss is going to tell them to do something. And so, you know, they try to make like they're busy and avoid that. We shouldn't do that with the Lord. We shouldn't make ourselves, you know, so busy trying to do this or that, just hoping, you know, the Lord won't say, "Hey, I need this done." No, we should come to Him specifically. So, let's go back to Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. And it says in what? The beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God was there. He was there. In the beginning, God. And I pray that in the beginning of this year, which we're still in, the beginning of this year, I pray that God is there. Where? In our lives. In our thoughts. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is" what? "Stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So I pray that God is there. Where? In our lives. He was there in the beginning here. And when he was there, he created. And he can create in us a new creature. "Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. So may we make sure that he is there in our lives early. Notice with me in Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12. We need to be acknowledging him. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. How many tasks in a day's time do we get frustrated or stopped or confused? But in those same tasks, how many times did we acknowledge him before we started that task? Ecclesiastes 12, 1. What's the first word? Remember. Remember now who? Thy Creator in the days of what? Thy youth. When the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, "I have no pleasure in them." Now, you young people, if you want to know what that verse means, Just ask any older person here, and they will tell you. What does it mean to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them? Now, you young people this morning, you probably bounded out of bed and you weren't in pain. Maybe some of you were, but probably most of you were not. Most of you young people, when you walk, you're not in pain. You can walk freely. You can do most generally anything when you're not in pain. Whereas when you get older, you'll understand the meaning of Ecclesiastes 12:1. So, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while you have the ability, the energy, to serve the Lord. So, put Him first in that time, early in your life. We need to remember that if we want our lives to go well, we need to put God first. We need to remember our Creator early in our lives if we want our lives to go well. Notice in Ephesians 6. Now, if you were to go to the doctor and say, well, I have this pain or ailment in my life, and the doctor's going to diagnose, the doctor's going to say, maybe like with Sister Kay, well, you need an MRI. I know something's going on in there because you're telling me you're hurting. But the doctor can't see in there, that joint. And so he orders a test. But you know what? There are things that happen in our lives for which no doctor has a test. Well, look with me, please, in Ephesians 6:1. Children, what? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with what? Promise. So here's a commandment with a promise. You know, a lot of people think, oh, all these rules, can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. And if you do that, you're going to get punished. Well, here's something. If we obey, there's a promise, not a penalty. It's looked at as a promise. Well, what is it? Verse 3, that it may be what? Well with thee. Now, is there anyone here that is looking forward to a miserable life? No one. Everyone wants a life that goes well, don't they? Everyone. Well, if we want a life that goes well, then we need to obey our parents and honor our parents. And then it goes on to say, and thou mayest what? Live long on the earth. Anyone here want to die young? No hands. Everyone wants to live a long life. Well, the promise is twofold, verse 3. If we obey our parents and honor our parents, then our lives will go well and we'll live long on the earth. So, what do we bring upon ourselves as we grow older when we do not obey these scripture verses here? Well, only the Lord knows all the woe that we can bring upon our own lives, all the suffering that we can bring upon our own lives if we do not obey these scriptures. So obey our parents and honor our parents. So you know what? There's no medicine that can counteract what we can bring upon ourselves by disobeying the Lord, by not seeking Him early and loving and obeying our parents. Notice in Proverbs 8, we're looking at the fact of how important it is to seek the Lord early. Does anyone in here know what is the recommended mileage to change your oil? 3,000 miles. And I know on some of the newer cars, at least at one point they said 5,000, but I'm the old school. I still like to stick to the 3,000. And at one point we were looking for a vehicle, and so I was looking at a certain make and model of a vehicle, and they said, well, this vehicle you have to be careful with because it came out from the factory with a glitch in it. You know, all the newer cars have a thing that pops up and says oil change, you know, change your oil, and because people tend not to keep track of it. And they said, well, that thing had a glitch in it, this certain make and model. And I forget if it was going like 20,000 or 25,000 miles before that popped up there. And so they're saying, as a result, you have to be careful buying that car and that model in this certain time frame of years, or maybe just 1 year, I don't know. Because they said on that car, now there's a streak of bad motors because the oil was not changed like it should have been changed. Well, you know what? When your motor starts knocking, you can run and get the oil changed, but what? It's too late. It's not going to help. The damage has already been done. Proverbs 8:17. I love them that what? Love me. And those that seek me when? Early shall find me. So, we need to do that. Notice in Hebrews 3:15. While it is said, when? Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. You know, it used to be when people would get a little senile, they always said, well, they have hardening of the arteries. And so it's like, okay, what does that mean? Hardening of the arteries. What does it mean? Well, it says here, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Well, what was the provocation? It was Israel in the wilderness. They provoked the Lord over and over and over. At least 10 times they provoked the Lord. And so the Lord is telling us, don't provoke me. Seek me early. So we need to do that. So if you are like me, though, looking ahead at 2020 this year, I'm thinking, Lord, what do I really have to offer you? As we start a year, what do I have, Lord? I have no power of my own. I have no wisdom of my own. I have no abilities of my own. It just seems like I have nothing really to offer the Lord. Nothing. I'm older. So, Lord, you know, I want to serve You. I want to do Your will, but Lord, I don't have anything really to offer You but my life. And you know, that seems pretty pathetic, but you know, God looks at things from a different perspective than us. Notice in 2 Corinthians 4. So maybe you're feeling that way as well. You may feel, Lord, I'd really love to do something for You, but I don't have any abilities. I just don't really have anything to offer You but my life. Well, how does God look at that? 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this what? Treasure. What? I mean, do you have a piggy bank? I read this week that in, I don't know if it was Jerusalem, but one of the cities of Israel, they found what they said was probably somebody's piggy bank, but it had gold coins in it from long way back. They discovered that treasure. So the Bible says here that we have this treasure. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't have a piggy bank at home with gold coins in it. I don't have a treasure like that. But let's read on. Don't get discouraged yet. But we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. Now, that's what they found this in over in Israel, was an earthen vessel. It was like a little pottery thing with these gold coins. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be what? Of God and what? Not of us. So God looks at us, our lives, these earthen vessels, as a treasure. A treasure. We may look at these earthen vessels and see, well, the only thing I see, Lord, is something that's older, and everything seems to be failing more and more each year. I don't see any treasure in it, but God looks at your life differently than you look at it
in the mirror.
Then your checklist of values, God looks at it differently because God delights. And in fact, in a moment we're going to see that God can do anything out of nothing. God looks at our lives as a treasure. Let's read on in verse 8. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in what? Our body. Wow. God says our lives are a treasure, verse 7. Verses 8 and 9, it seems like our lives are just filled with trials and troubles and persecutions. But verse 10 goes on to say that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Yes, we are nothing. But you see that then Jesus can be seen all the more. Then it's not like people that are praising us. It's people are praising God. So God looks at us as a treasure that He can use. As we yield our lives to Him, if our desire this year is to point people to Him, then we are a treasure. Do you have beautiful feet? Anyone in here? You wouldn't say it even if you thought it, would you? But we know, though, that God considers some feet beautiful, don't we? Hold your place here. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 13, Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have what? Not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how what? Beautiful are what? The feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. My wife and I were in Myers the other evening, and I thought this clerk wasn't acting really friendly, and that my wife was trying to get conversation with her, but she just didn't seem to be responding. And at the end, I gave her a gospel tract, and it was like then I think I understood why. It was like she said, "I've already received one of these before." She took it, but I think she knew that's what was coming, and she didn't want to get into a friendly conversation because she didn't like that piece of paper. But what about it? She didn't know, but you know what? Maybe she doesn't like our faces. Maybe for several reasons, but maybe one is because she thinks it's convicting. But you know what? We walked out of that place with beautiful feet. No one knew it. And it's the same way with you. When we try to point people to Christ, we have beautiful feet. That's what God says. And, well, what is it going to mean in eternity? Well, look at Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12. You know, when you set out to give your life to the Lord to be used of Him, you are a bigger treasure than the largest diamond. How big is the biggest diamond you've ever seen? I don't know. I don't know what the biggest diamond I've ever seen. When I bought my wife an engagement ring, I thought it looked really big at the jewelers. And you know what? They are deceivers. Did you know that? Jewelers? They have spotlights, bright spotlights on their case. And I mean, they make things glow. And you know what I found out after giving that to her? There was this little diamond in the middle And then a bigger chrome shaped like five-sided piece or whatever the diamond shape is. And you know what? In my mind, in that jeweler's case, that thing was just glowing. But the light was shining on the chrome and the diamond. And I couldn't believe how small that was when I actually got it out from under those bright lights. But when we give our lives to Christ, look in Daniel 12, verse 3. Daniel 12, 3. And they that be what? Wise shall what? Shine as the brightness of what? The firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as what? The stars forever and ever. Have you ever noticed too about a diamond that it gets dull? You know, if you wear it when you're washing dishes and doing all your housework, you ever notice how fast the diamond gets dull and just doesn't sparkle? But this, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Because of your prayers and your giving and your labor, someone on the last day of 2019 wrote in and said she got saved. We don't know all the people that are affected when we set out to serve the Lord. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Now, could you say today that you think that you are a jewel, a treasure to anyone on this earth? Do you think that anyone looks at you as a real jewel, as a real treasure? Look at Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that what? Feared the Lord, spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of what? Remembrance was written before him for them that what? Feared the Lord and that what? Thought upon his name. That's our memory verse. Keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Them that thought upon his name, verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith who? The Lord of hosts, in that day when I, what? Make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Did you know God is a jeweler? He is. And one day he's going to make up his jewels. And all of those that fear his name and that thought upon his name, those here that speak often one to another, trying to encourage others in the Lord, God is going to make up his jewels with those people. So you couple that with God says that your life is a treasure in earthen vessels. It does not matter that we have nothing really to offer to him. We don't have our own wisdom. We don't have our, well, like Moses said, Lord, I am not eloquent. God only said to him, who hath made man's mouth? God didn't make Moses that way, even though Stephen said later on he was more qualified than he gave himself credit for anyway. But you know what? When we yield our lives to God, it's our life. That's what God wants, is us. And you know, really, the more empty we are, the more he's glorified. It's our lives that are a treasure to him. And even though no one else upon this earth, you may think no one else upon this earth really treasures you or looks at you as a jewel, we can be such in God's eyes here. Verse 17, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, on that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So we can yield our lives to God. And I pray that we will in this coming year. So let's go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. So, we get back. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. It does not really matter that it seems like we have nothing to offer God. It seems like, you know, the grass always seems greener on the other side of the fence. It seems like other people are always more qualified, more talents, more abilities. But how did God make the heaven and the earth? It says in verse 1, He created the heaven and the earth. But how did He make it? From what did He make it? Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God, so that things which are seen were what? Not made of things which do appear. So you know what? It really doesn't matter that we seem to have nothing to offer God but our lives. Because how did He make this whole world? Out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. And you know, the same way in our lives. God spoke it into existence out of nothing. But look at Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, verse 1. Well, how did that go? Psalm 19. Have you ever set out to create something in the kitchen and it didn't turn out so well? Maybe you were out of some ingredients and you said, well, I'll substitute this ingredient and see how it turns out. How did it go? Did it turn out? How did it go with God? Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare what? The glory of God. Well, sounds like it turned out pretty well, doesn't it? He spoke it into existence out of nothing. Well, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His what? Handiwork. Sounds like it turned out pretty well, didn't it? So the finished product is pretty spectacular. Well, what about us? We're not the universe. You know, we're not Mr. Universe. What are we? Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name, where? In all the earth. Who has set Thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained what? Wait a minute. Read that again. Out of the mouth of who? Babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained what? Strength? Wait a minute. I thought little babies and little children that are still nursing. Strength? Yes. Thou hast ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. How does a baby or a little child that's still nursing defeat the enemy? Not by his own strength. That's how. Verse 3, when I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which Thou hast ordained, and then what does it say? What is man? Nothing. Nothing. When you consider the moon and the stars, which God has ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of Thy hands, and Thou hast put all things under his feet. What is man? Man is nothing, but God gave him dominion. There's a lot of animals that are faster than us. There's a lot of animals that are stronger than us. But just at the sight of man, most of those animals will flee. They're afraid. It doesn't matter. We don't have anything. That we have nothing. That's how God made the earth, and He made it very glorious. So number one, let us seek God early this year. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Number two, let us seek the Lord completely this year. So number one, let us seek the Lord early this year. It's still early. We can do that. Number two, let us seek the Lord completely this year. Let's give our all to Him. Let's give ourselves to Him. Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The earth was without form. Just like 2020, as we look ahead in this year, this year is without form to us. In other words, we don't know what's going to happen in this year. If you hold your place here, notice me in James chapter 4. None of us know exactly. You may say, well, I have plans for this year. Some of you have graduation to do. Some of you have this or that. Maybe a trip planned, or I don't know. James 4 and verse 13. James 4:13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So they're looking ahead a whole year. And God says, wait a minute. You that are saying, you know, this year we're going to go in such a city, we're going to buy, sell, and get gain. Verse 14. Whereas ye know what? Not what shall be on the morrow. We not only do not know what's going to happen this year, we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say what? If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So let's go back to Genesis 1. We cannot factually say anything about this year. I know we have our calendars and we have things marked on the calendar, but we cannot factually say this is what's going to happen on that date. You know, I'm going to go to this doctor on that date, or I'm going this place on that date, or we don't know. We do not know. None of us know what will become a part of our life story this year. That preacher last week was going to preach on legacy. Well, he never got to preach that message because the shooter came in. And some of those people, that was their last service. That was it. And they didn't know that. So none of us know this year what will become a part of our life story. For those people down there, they will never forget their loved ones perished. That will become a part of their life story. They died in church in an active shooter situation. Some of the others, like the man who shot the bad guy, that will become a part of his legacy. He didn't know that was going to happen, though, last year. And it goes on to say in verse 2, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Looking at 2020 ahead, it's like we are peering into the darkness. We cannot see what's going to happen on January 10th or the 20th or the 31st. We can't see what's going to happen on June 1st or July 1st or August 1st or September 1st. We can't see ahead what's going to happen on December 31st. To us, it's dark. We cannot see into that situation. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. But you know, there is one that can. There is one that does know. There is one that can see. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. The Bible says, for now we see through what? A glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So, how can we give ourselves, back to Genesis 1, as we look at 2020, it's like verse 2. It's without form, it's void, it's dark, we can't see into the year, but the last phrase of verse 2 says, and the what? The Spirit of God did what? moved upon the face of the waters. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was saying, how can a man be born again? How can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus responds to him and gives him an illustration. The wind bloweth where it listeth. So thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We can't see the wind. The wind is invisible, but we can see what the wind does. Anything in the way of the wind, we can see what it does to it. In the same way, this year, what we need is the Spirit of God to move upon the face of our waters. We need the Spirit of God to move in our lives this year. And we need to yield to Him. Well, what do we do? Well, let's close with Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. What can we do? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Well, let's start in verse 15. Ephesians 5, 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as what? Fools, but as wise. Redeeming what? The time, because the days are evil. We got in the mail from the hardware store, we got a coupon. And it said $40. And I thought it was going to say, well, you get $40 off something if you spend, you know, $100 or $200. And I got reading it, and you didn't have to spend any money. It was just a coupon to redeem. Well, we needed salt here, so I used it to redeem it for salt. But redeeming what? The time, because the days are evil. All of us, as long as God gives us breath, have time. We might not have money. We might not have a lot of other things, but we have time. And it's amazing what God can do with time if we'll give it to Him. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but what? Understanding what the what? The will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. It's contrasting. Don't be. If you're filled with alcohol, you'll be controlled by alcohol. You can see the way a person walks when they're filled with alcohol. You can tell it because of the way they talk. They slur their speech. So this year, may we be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want the Spirit of God to move in our lives as He moved upon the face of the waters. So we need to be controlled by Him. And one of the first things there, in verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. So it'll be praising God through singing and speaking. Verse 20, it says, giving what? Thanks. So if we're filled with the Spirit of God, we'll be praising God in song and in our speech. And in verse 20, we'll be thanking God. Verse 21 says what? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So we'll be doing that. We'll be concerned about others and their needs, not just about ourselves. So may the Spirit of God move upon our hearts. We can't see into this year, but may God help us to have 2020 spiritual vision and be used of Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, if there should be any here that have never been saved, I pray You'd help them to realize that Jesus is the perfect and pure Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, came to this earth through a miraculous virgin birth and lived a perfect, sinless life, died on the cross, bearing our sins in His own body on the tree, was buried and rose again in victory from the grave. Lord, I pray if there are any here today who's never been saved, that they would come to You in repentance and faith and ask You to save them and forgive them of their sins. Lord, help us as Christians. Lord, we need a checkup at the spiritual eye doctor. Lord, help us to have clear vision for this year. We pray in Jesus' name.